This is the Millennial Movement Podcast, delivering you the most exclusive insights from the top entrepreneurs and influencers from around the world. Hosted by business owner and influencer, Ricky Nguyen. Now on to the show.
Yo, what's up, guys? You're now tuning into the Millennial Movement. I'm your host, Ricky Nguyen, and this is the dopest business podcast. Guys, today we have a very special guest. He's another millennial killing the sales game, Jordan Stupar, sales expert and sales masters. Jordan, how you doing today, man?
I'm good, man. How are you?
Good, good. You know, to open up to the show, thank you for being on. Happy New Year's as well.
Happy New Year, man. 2019 is going to be a banger.
That's good. So, yeah, I know you're over in Wisconsin right now. So, tell the people, is it a little chilly over there, or how's the weather?
Yeah, so it's dipping into the 20 degrees Fahrenheit. For the rest of you guys around the world, I don't know what that is in Celsius, but it's pretty much close to zero.
That's not good. I'm trying to stay over here in the South, so it's over here like the mid-30s. I'm trying to keep it that way. I can't deal with the cold over there, man. Zero. I just came back from Paris, man. So like the cold over there, it's like that chilly cold, and I got like a cold sore. So yeah, I'm trying to stay back in the South. I can't go to Wisconsin right now.
Yeah, I would probably pass if I was you.
Yeah. So Jordan, to open up to the show, man, tell the audience a little bit more about who you are and what you do, and we're gonna jump right into the questions.
Yeah. So I'm a millennial. I'm a business owner, entrepreneur. But first and foremost, I'm a salesperson. Always have been. I've been in sales now for about 17, maybe, well, I'm getting older. Yeah, almost 18 years. And I co-founded a company called Sales Domination System. It's a SaaS product, like your typical CRMs, except a whole lot of other features that nobody else has. And so literally right now I'm in my office. We're starting at ground zero and literally just taking the entrepreneurship game to the next level every single day I come into the office.
Okay. So how old are you, Jordan? Just to ask, just starting off with the show, man.
I'm 31, about to be 32 next month.
So you got some years on me. So how did you kind of explain to people, you know, how did you get into the sales game? Like, what made you want to do it?
Many years ago, I was working at Chili's, which is like a string, you know, a chain restaurant, yeah. You know. I got fired. And I was mad about it because I couldn't pay any of my bills. Not like I had much anyway. But my dad had always been a successful salesperson. And I was like, man, you know what? I'm going to give it a whirl. And I went to Craigslist and found a door-to-door sales job. And, you know, 2 weeks after starting my sales job, I closed my first deal. And it's all been downhill from there, man. I've just always been really obsessed about providing value for other people and, you know, providing value for myself mm-hmm. by providing value for other people.
So kind of explain, how'd you get fired from Chili's?
I got fired from Chili's for not showing up like 3 days in a row.
Oh, man. So you're that slacker that you didn't want to go to work, go to a 9-to-5 job?
No, man. And it wasn't even 9-to-5. Dude. It was like 11-to-4. Like I was only doing lunches and I wasn't making any money. I hated it. I spent too much time partying. And it was just, I was just really young and dumb, man, you know?
Most definitely. So like kind of at first, what kind of things were you going through at first to get your mind right? But moving into the sales game, like, what did you have to experience at a young age? Because I know sales is hard. It's one of the hardest careers people would say. What did you have to go through but learn in the process from being in the sales game?
Yeah. So, I mean, first and foremost, there's always something to learn in the sales game. There's always an edge that you're going to want to take. But I think the first lesson that I learned in sales is the same lesson that everyone does. And that's how to, get past rejection. Mm-hmm. Right. Because, you know, I was knocking doors and you're going in cold. And whether you're working in retail, you're going door to door, you're calling people on the phone, you have to figure out a way to be able to make sense out of rejection. Mm-hmm. And so that was the first lesson. It's still a lesson that, you know, we all have to learn is how to get through rejection.
How'd you kind of take rejection? Explain your experience. Like how, when someone said like, it's hard. Cause you know, like even like if it's asking a girl out on a date, for example, right. Or trying to go for a sales and you get rejected and someone says no to your face. How do you deal with rejection personally?
I think the first thing that I do is I just understand that I'm supposed to get rejected. Mm-hmm. There's not a lot of people that right off the bat are going to, you know, not a lot of girls are going to give you their phone number right off the bat. There's not a lot of business owners that are going to say, yeah, come into my office or, you know, I got 30 minutes of nothingness laying around. I want to spend time with you. So rejection has to be the first thing that you acknowledge and you have to be able to be prepared to combat it with words and okay. understanding that they're not supposed to be interested in talking to you. They're not supposed to be, you know, wanting to give you a phone number right off the bat. And being able to prepare yourself for that type of scenario will allow you to, hopefully in more cases than not, get past that rejection.
Okay, so my next question is good to ask because it's going pertaining to the next one. It's like, is sales best by learning and reading, or like best by experience? Because you said you have to, when you're facing it, you have to understand, you know, at the moment people are not going to give you their business right off bat. How do you learn and prepare best for sales?
Yeah, good question. So it'd be like learning how to swim, right? Or learning how to play football or soccer or whatever. Like, I can watch a bunch of tape, YouTube videos, read books about the greatest, you know, soccer players or swimmers or whatever. But if I never get my ass into the pool, you know, I'm never going to be able to learn how to swim. I see a lot of salespeople spend a lot of time on books, courses, role playing, training, because they want to avoid actually picking up the phone. So at the end of the day, you have to show up to work for your 8-9 hours a day. You have to make the phone calls. You have to knock on the doors. But what's going to really set you apart and your growth is what you do before you, you know, start your job and what you're doing at night. Because those are the times you need to be going through the podcasts, the seminars, the courses, the role playing, the books, all that stuff. But when you're actually at work, that's the time to actually grind. And I see a lot of people trying to make an excuse that they don't want to actually do the work. So they over prepare, and then they learn too much, and they can't even use what they learn because they learn too much.
Okay, so it's more about learning the material, but then using that material and putting it into actions, per se to speak, right?
Before you seek work-life balance, I think that you have to seek work-work balance. And that's executing while preparing and learning. And then sooner or later, when you have, you know, the cash flow that you want, the income that you want, whatever, then I think you can start looking for a little work-life balance, because you have obtained or achieve something in work that you've wanted. Most people are looking for work-life balance right off the bat. You don't deserve to have a life if you're not willing to put in the work. That's the way I see it.
That's true. That's true. And I agree with you. A lot of people are trying to look for that work-life balance, but haven't. I, like you said, because I was going to ask, what is your, like, is it like a work-life balance, or how you kind of balancing out what you do during the day, but also what you do during the night?
Yeah, I mean, I'm just wired, I think. I don't think I've ever really had to teach myself to just be work, work, work. I'm just kind of wired that way, where I'm always looking for something to do.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if I'm like waiting for the shower to warm up and there's one or two DMs on Instagram I can get back to.
You're always looking for something to do. You're not like sitting around your ass and like being lazy and stuff. It kind of gets you annoyed and stuff.
Right. I'm cool with Netflix for the first 11, 12 minutes. And then it's like, I'm bored. I gotta like, I'll grab my phone and, you know, be DMing, checking email. Creating, you know, posts, whatever I need to be doing so that I can be out there, so that I can have opportunities like this. You know, that's why I'm doing this. I don't care if you have one viewer or 400 million viewers. Yeah. I'm going to do this because it's part of just being able to do something.
Much love and appreciate to everyone that tunes into the Millennial Movement, guys. But Jordan, explain to the people, when you're young, you're starting to get sales. You know, I think you had what, eight? If I'm not wrong, mistaken, you had 8 years of sales, right? And then 6 years of B2C?
That's correct. I had 8 years going door to door.
Going door to door.
And about six or seven years now, kind of being in an office inside.
Okay. So when you're starting going door to door, how many people, you know, like you're always consistently, like you said, you're DMing people, but you're always talking to people in sales. You're always calling people as well on the phone. How many people would you talk to and call in a day? And how many people in those days would say yes to you and you would close that deal?
I mean, hardly any. I mean,
really? Like, is it really that hard? I kind of find it hard to believe.
Yeah. So at the end of the day, you want to get as close to having a ratio as possible. Like, for instance, going door to door, we had a credit check that we ran. And if you passed credit, then I could sell you my product. And so if I ran 4 credit checks, I knew I was getting one sale. And so I wasn't going for sales. I'd figure out, okay, how many doors do I have to knock now to get a credit check? And I figured out it took me 25 to 30 doors that I'd knock on to do a credit check. So I basically broke it down. If I wanted one sale a day, statistically, I'd have to knock somewhere around 120, 130 doors in that day.
Okay.
And I'd get a sale. Mm-hmm. Some days I do better. Some days I do worse. But statistically, that was, you know, my closing ratio. So it's important, you know, if you're in sales, particularly commission only sales where you're not making any salary or a base, it's really important that you're able to reverse engineer the result that you actually want. A lot of people say, hey, I want to get a sale today. Okay. But what's that actually mean? What type of work does it actually take? Because, you know, it's not a game of luck, you know, it's a game of work. There's a little bit of luck involved, as there always is, but at the end of the day, you know, the numbers don't lie, and you got to work on your statistics.
That's good. That's good. So, Jordan, someone listening, they're wanting to get into sales. Someone's there trying to get into the field. What do they need to learn? But what do they need to know before getting into sales? and get into the
field. Okay, first thing you need to know is that nothing matters. It doesn't matter what a customer says to you. It doesn't matter what list you're working. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you're knocking doors in. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. All you need to do is you just show up. Rule number, you know, zero before all the rest of the rules is to show up. Rule number one would be look good. Okay. Don't be a slob. You know, show up looking your best. You know, you're representing yourself. You're representing your product. You're representing your business. Make sure you, you know, look at least proper. The next thing that I would learn is how to communicate effectively. I think it's the most important thing that we can do as human beings is to communicate our ideas and the things that we actually want to convey to other people effectively. Mm-hmm. Because if you can't communicate effectively, people are never going to understand what your product offering is, what it does, the benefits of having it, and they're not going to purchase from you if you don't know how to communicate. So I would practice talking into my phone. I would listen to audio recordings. I would watch video recordings of myself. See how I'm actually communicating with other people, and then actually work on the things that I see deficiency in.
Okay, so explain how can someone communicate effectively better? How can someone do that?
I think the best way to do that would be in some of the situations I just mentioned, where you know you're recording yourself on your phone, mm-hmm. speaking to a client. I used to do that in almost every sales call. Is just turn on my recorder on my iPhone and hit the play button while I was talking, and then later that night, I would listen to 5, 6, 7, 8 of my own sales pitches. And I'd be like, man, you know, I crashed and burned right here.
Yeah.
I need to work on this. Or this part sounded good, but it would sound better if I said X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z. And so I think that's one of the most effective, you know, things that you can do is just record yourself. It's free. It doesn't cost any money. And it's just something that you can use, again, to listen to yourself and say, dude, would I actually buy for myself if I called me?
I like what you said, because I think someone I had on the show, Sharon Shavasa, he said that to me. He was like, when you're talking to someone, it's like, I like what you said, when you recorded yourself, you're listening to yourself from inside to out. But a lot of people are looking to you from outside to in. So recording yourself and seeing how you hear and seeing the way you speak. And like you said, oh, crap, like this is where I blew my chance and this is how to fix it. I think you explained that. You said it so well, because even when I'm speaking, like I try to re-record myself, but even with the podcast, like I'm listening to what I'm saying, because like a lot of guests are listening to me from outside to in, so it's a good way to do that as well. Yeah. So also one thing, when you're getting into doing sales, what is one of the biggest fear that you had?
The fact that you know, I wasn't doing as well as other people. You know, I got in, and you know, obviously there's people that have been doing it for a couple of years, mm-hmm. or whatever. And so, you know, they get results, you know, on a daily basis, where me, I'm like, man, I'm not really getting any results. I'm really not making any money. Is this for me? You know, am I good enough to do this? And you start going internally, looking at your own confidence. And one of the things that anybody has to understand is that you never, ever compare yourself to anybody else, mm-hmm. you know, because, you know, a guy that has 5 years of experience on sales on you should beat you every day.
Yeah.
They should outperform every day doing less work because they know more.
Okay.
And so if you're starting off and you're scared of, you know, looking like an idiot, you're going to look like an idiot.
Yeah.
You give me a skateboard right now and put me in a skate park, I'm going to look like an idiot.
Mm-hmm. But it's about building that confidence over time and putting in the years of work. Yeah. It's about putting your
dreams first. But if I show up to the skate park every single day for the next 4 years, in 4 years, I'm going to look like Tony Hawk.
Yeah.
Right, I'm going to crush it, mm-hmm. because it's something I'm doing every single day. So, look, nothing matters. All you have to do is show up and do something consistently. If there's anything that millennials, people around my age, or you know, around your age, can understand, is do the same thing every single day until you get the result that you actually want, and never ever waver from it. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter if it takes 2 years.
But that's what I was going to say. But what if someone says, Jordan, what if it takes me a year? What if it takes me 2 or 5 years, and I still don't see any results? When is it time for me to say, all right, when are my results going to come? So what do you say to people that are saying that?
That's the beauty about life, is uh-huh. if you knew that they were going to come in 2 years, would you still actually do the work? Maybe not. Mm-hmm. But if you knew it was going to come in 6 months, would you still do the work? And so people are always like trying to figure out, like, is it worth my time and energy? Mm-hmm. Well, where else are you spending your time and your energy? On the couch watching Netflix? Because you're sure as hell never going to get what you want doing that. All you have to do is shift your resources and your time to a different direction. And yes, sooner or later, it'll work.
Okay. So how did you stay motivated, like, throughout doing everything? And how many hours in a week did you put in?
So I mean, it's always varied, but when I really started taking things seriously, I was working at least 60 hours a week. And what motivated me was being the best, you know, salesperson around me.
Okay.
I at first had financial goals, and then I would never hit those goals because I was so focused on, I was never hitting my potential because I was focused on a number.
Yeah.
And when I decided to say, hey, you know, forget making 250 grand this year, I'm going to be the best salesperson in my office. I was the best salesperson in my office and made 400 grand that year.
Okay. So that's, is that when you start seeing things turn around? Like you wanted to, you felt like you needed to manifest things to acquire, but to achieve more as well. Or when did you start seeing things to actually turn around? Cause I know at one point you were living, you moved a few places to New York, but Miami as well, correct?
Yep.
So when did you kind of start seeing things turn around? Like, was it coming back to Wisconsin or were you back in Miami at this time?
No, I was in Miami, and I was working inside sales. And, I mean, 17 months went by at this one job.
Okay.
And I was barely scraping by. Life wasn't that great. You know, I lived in the ghetto, you know, but I kept, I'd literally be the first person in the office. I'd open the office, and then I'd close it at 11 p.m. And at 11 p.m., I'd call Alaska because they're 5 hours behind them, you know, time zones.
Yeah, the time zone difference.
And I did that every single day for 17 months. 17 months. I didn't text any girls. I didn't go on any dates. I never even went out to dinner for 17 months. I went home to the office, home, office, home, office, Saturdays and Sundays.
Wow.
Every day.
Damn.
And then all of a sudden, make $10,000 in a month, then $20,000, then $30,000, then $40,000, then $50,000. And, you know, ended up making checks in a month, you know, $188,000. Like, sooner or later, the system will pay you out, but you have to be loyal to the game.
So when you're talking about system, how were you making, like, checks 10 to, when you bounced from 10 to, like, 30K a month? Was it going, like, business from Alaska, or was it, where were the business coming from?
At that point, when things started popping off, man, business was coming from everywhere.
Really?
Like, I started closing more deals on accident than I actually wanted
Hold
to.
On.
Like,
how do you start closing deals by accident? Explain that.
because you've communicated with so many people and you have so much in your pipeline.
Yeah.
That literally just starts overflowing from all different points, and you're closing more deals on accident than you do on purpose.
So okay, understand. So that's what I was going to say. At that time, you were in the top 1% in the sales industry. You're making over $500,000 a year. People would die trying to achieve that. What made you switch to going to entrepreneurship? And you explain to the people, you have you're CEO of your own academy, Jordan Stupar Sales Academy.
Yeah. So, I mean, resigning from a job that where you're making 500 grand a year is not easy. And it's not for everybody.
So what made you switch? What kind of said, all right, 500,000 doesn't supply me enough. Let me go into the entrepreneurship and try, you know, my own thing. And then you started Scoop Ourselves.
One, my, I've always been entrepreneurial. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted to create things. I've always wanted to impact other people and be the person responsible for building it. Not to drive my own ego, but because I believe I've always been able to do things better. I've been a musician player. I've been a soccer player. I've always excelled in these types of things where you're able to take your own skill set and make it your own and excel. And so being a salesperson, same thing.
Okay.
I wanted to help give people the resources that I used so that they could, you know, make more money and so on and so forth. But really at the end of the day, the real reason why I decided to, you know, start my own business and leave it is because, you know, I just have bigger goals.
Yeah.
Making 500 grand a year is awesome. It's a great amount of money. There should be people that try, you know, working their ass off for that type of income. But for me, I have no doubt that I'll be able to do it over and over again and more by owning my own business.
Yeah. So I know you already generated millions for yourself. So that's out of the question already. But, you know, explain, like, did you teach yourself music by yourself? You say you learned music, right? Were you
that's correct.
Guitar
player? Yep, I learned guitar by ear.
Really? So did you teach yourself guitar or did you have to go to classes and stuff?
I only took one guitar lesson and the rest of it was just me in my basement, hard work, sweat and tears.
Really? Dang. I've been trying to teach myself, but I can't do it. I tried to teach myself piano one time. That's it. But it didn't work out too well.
I know. It's tricky, man.
Yeah. So explain what Stupar Sales Academy is. What, who do you guys cater to?
So I specifically work with individuals that are just looking to develop new skills,
okay,
or bolster the skills that they already have.
Okay.
And so it's again, for anybody out there, I've worked in inside sales, I've worked in outside sales, I've worked B2B, I've worked B2C, I've really done all of it. And so I know the language and I know how to cater to just about anybody. So that's what it is. It's just a collection of content based all around the fact of just, hey, if there's something I can improve on and there is a resource somewhere out there, I want to help be at least part of the resources that people use just to better themselves. And that's my passion.
Okay. So going back, I want to take it back when you were going to in Miami, right? So you couldn't get this far and learn, because I know you, at one point you were working with Grant Cardone.
Correct.
How long were you working with Grant for?
4.5 years.
But all right. So Jordan, someone listening there, you know, they went through a lot that you've been through. Tell them one tip that you would give if they were trying to start their own business, but someone that don't have the money and resources at the same time.
The money and the resources don't matter. What matters is your drive. Mm-hmm. If you don't have money and you don't have resources, then you probably have one thing that most people wish they had, which is time. And if you have time, then you can create whatever you want. There's resources online. There's things that you can do with your time to build something that will pay you out later. And so for anybody out there that's making excuses, if you don't have money, that's just an excuse. If you don't have other resources that you think that you need to start your business, just an excuse.
Okay.
Right. And so the only thing that matters is your ability to be persistent in the face of adversity, because you will have challenges, and just have enough drive to continue to pull yourself to where you want to go.
Okay, so how do you tell someone who that doesn't have any drive, that who doesn't have any motivation? How does someone get the drive but kind of push themselves to do something? Did you say like you don't need, they don't have the resources? But
you don't need motivation. Mm-hmm. You need discipline. Mm. You make your bed every morning? If not, I mean, I make my bed every morning. Am I motivated to do that?
No.
Fuck no.
Yeah.
Fuck no. I hate making my bed. But I do it every morning because I'm disciplined. Mm-hmm. And so I start off my day the same way every day. I get out of bed, I make my bed. Mm-hmm. And then what do? I get dressed. I take a shower, you know, do my thing. And I show up to work. I don't want to show up to work. I want to go out doing travel. I want to go hang out with friends, family, whatever. Like, but I'm here in my office because I'm disciplined.
Yeah.
I don't like it all the time, but I'm disciplined. And so, again, if you're young, you're millennial, whatever, you don't need motivation. You don't need to go on Instagram and look at, you know, photos of Lamborghinis or, you know, trips to some volcano in Hawaii. You need to show up to work every single day.
Okay. So do you have a morning routine that you follow every day? Do you like go to the gym? Do you read a book? And like, you know, some people, they start more like reading 15 minutes, or they do meditation for 15 minutes, or write a journal. Do you have a specific morning routine that you do every morning for yourself?
Yeah. So get up, make my bed, shot a pre-workout, go to the gym, take a shower, get dressed, write down goals or my activity list or whatever it is I need to accomplish, and then I get to work.
Okay. So I know we have a few more questions. You went through a lot. What kind of came naturally easy for you and to start doing? Like, was it just business? And also, is this your only business venture, or do you have other business ventures as well?
Yeah, so I'm also the co-founder of a company called Sales Domination System. We are a SaaS product, meaning we're a software as a service company. It's for salespeople, by salespeople. It's a replacement for the CRM. Mm-hmm. For any of you guys that know what a customer relation management tool is, that's what we do. We are trying to save salespeople valuable time that they can spend in front of customers. And to answer the question that came before that, none of this comes easy. Nothing that you become good at is easy.
Okay. And how much time did you have to put to own your own skill but master? How long did it take you?
A minimum of 10,000 hours.
10,000 hours? Wow.
Minimum.
And for someone starting young, how much time would you say they need to start putting in? Because for you, like you said, everyone's different. For myself, it's different from whoever. They can put in the amount of time they want. But how much time should someone start off if they're trying to go their own path? How much time should they be putting in a week but building for themselves?
If you're trying to do something for yourself, it's going to take every ounce and piece of energy that you have, mm-hmm, to get something off the ground. Think of a rocket ship, man. You know, it takes 90% of the energy just to get it off the ground. Mm-hmm. Once a rocket is off the ground, less, you know, fuel and resources is necessary. So if you're young, do everything. Why are you trying to date a girl that you can't afford to take out? Why are you trying to own a car you can't afford? Why are you trying to own a house you can't afford? Like, money and the work, again, like I said earlier, you don't deserve to have that work-life balance if you haven't paid your dues to do the actual work. Okay,
so this is I like what you said, because a lot of people don't understand that it's like a girl costs money, cars cost money, and other things, that it's all assets, right? So if someone has money, what should they be doing with it? Should they be investing in it, or how should they make their money compound, or to make it grow, to double, or to 10x?
Invest in yourself.
Invest in yourself.
You got $2 or $2,000 or $2 million invested in yourself. Mm-hmm.
And how, what do you mean? Like, to explain, what do you mean by investing in yourself? Just by books or going to events or networking events? Because there's a lot of different ways to invest in
yourself. Courses, seminars, mentorship, coaching, any one of those things where you can actually get something out of it.
Mm-hmm. But someone said, and that's the thing. I try to tell a lot, like, especially with my friends around here, is like, if you want to build, you have to find a mentor, or build a coach, but invest in yourself as well. And a lot of people's like, I don't want to read a book. I don't want to be mentored, or I don't want to go to these events. They all cost money. Is someone with a negative mindset like that, how do you kind of to change that around? Or can't you?
I mean, either they change it around on their own, or you just stop hanging out with them.
Understandable.
That's the short truth, but it's the truth.
Why? Is it because of what? More negative energy is going to bring you down in the long term, in the future?
Why would you want to, if you're looking to invest in yourself, why would you spend a minute with somebody
trying to go down? Okay. Awesome. Well, Jordan, I know we're kind of coming to the end of the show here, but before we leave, you know, I do a takeaway with our guests. You know, through the ups and downs and struggles that you had to go through, what would your one advice be to the young millennials, but anyone coming up with the game that's trying to succeed on their own, but succeed in this technology generation?
Become disciplined and don't get weak.
Okay, explain that to the people.
Weak. It's okay to be weak. Mm-hmm. It's okay to get beat down. It's okay to get broken down. It's okay to have a bad day, bad week, bad year, bad decade. Mm-hmm. But once you get weak, that's where you start not doing the things that you need to do. That's where you start taking shortcuts and you start, you know, wishing, hoping, and praying rather than taking action. So, you know, from everything that I've been through, the only thing I can say is, figure out how to get disciplined, and then don't get weak when you are weak. Don't actually do it.
Awesome. Well, that was sick, man. Thank you, Jordan, for being on the show. And thank you for taking the time to be here today, man. I knew we planned this morning. We had some trouble, guys. Jordan, would you like to tell them where they can find you on social media, but also where they can contact you at, man?
Of course. I answer all my DMs. I'm very active on Instagram. You can find me at Jordan Stupar. And if you like longer playing, more documentation, you can find me on YouTube at Jordan Stupar.
Awesome. Much love, brother. Thank you. This is the Millennium Movement. If you love this episode with Jordan, leave us 5 stars, a review, and subscribe to the show. Until next time, guys, we out.
Doing good work that matters. That's what a career at Mantech means. From protecting our satellites in space to protecting our warfighters in the field. And we are passionate about empowering our people to be their best by providing unparalleled job mobility and offering a free bachelor's or master's degree in cyber or cloud computing. The men and women at Mantech take pride in doing the tough work that keeps our country safe. Do you have what it takes to join our team? Learn more at mantech.com/careers.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.